of Romans chapter 4. We read in verse 23, "Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." Now we've seen here in Romans 4 how Abraham was blessed of God. He was blessed of God. He's called the father of all who believe. And Abraham believed God. That's how he received this blessing. He believed God. And God imputed the righteousness of Christ to him without any of Abraham's works. That means he made Abraham to fulfill the law. He made him to totally establish the law. If you're justified, that means you've established the law of God. And that's what God gave to Abraham freely. But this is not written just for Abraham. It's not written just to tell us about Abraham. All this is written for our benefit. It's written for us who are reading this today. The Scripture says, "Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." These things were written for us, that we might have hope. Everything we studied about Abraham is to urge you and I to believe on Christ. It's to show us that the best thing for us is to believe on the Lord Jesus. And it says, "To whom righteousness shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead." I was thinking about this. We only have three paths in life that we can take. One, you can ignore the gospel completely and live your life in sin and meet God and go to hell. Or two, you can pretend and try to establish the law of God. There's over 650 precepts. And if you break one, you've broken them all. And you have to do it in thought, word, and deed. In other words, you can go through your life trying to obey the commandments of God and then meet God and go to hell. Or three, you can believe on Christ, and God will impute to you freely the righteousness of Christ. The subject today is how Christ established the law. And I want to show you that Christ established the law for His people by being our head and our substitute on the cross. That's how He established the law, by being our head and our substitute on the cross. We only have 2 points. Christ was delivered for our offenses. Christ was raised again for our justification. And that clearly declares how He established the law. Those two simple statements declare how Christ established the law for His people. First of all, Christ was delivered for our offenses. Now understand this and get this. Christ is the holy, spotless Lamb of God, who never himself sinned. He was not a sinner, and he never was a sinner. Christ Jesus the Lord is the Holy One. He's the Holy One. It was a must that he be holy. It was a must that he be without sin if he's going to take the place of his people and represent his people. We're sinful. We're corrupt. We've offended God. And if he's going to take our place, he has to be sinless. He has to be spotless. Scripture says he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. The reason he went to the cross and the reason he was able to go to the cross is because he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. That means in his heart, in his nature, was no guile. No guile, no hypocrisy, no deceit whatsoever. He offered himself without spot to God. Even on the cross, brethren, he was without spot himself. Christ never sinned himself. He's the Lamb without blemish and without spot. Well then, what was it he was bearing on the cross? It was our offenses. Our offenses that Christ was delivered. Now when you read our here, it's not all sinners in the world without exception. It's only God's elect that it's speaking of. Christ said, I'm the good shepherd and I know my sheep and I lay down my life for the sheep. When he prayed to the Father, he said, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. In Acts, they're called those who were ordained to eternal life. And those are the only ones Christ died for. Now, I know that's offensive to natural man. But why? Why do we declare this? We declare it because Christ came for a purpose. He came into this world for a purpose. He came to make his people the righteousness of God. And he accomplished that. And if he had accomplished that for everybody in the world, then everybody in the world would be saved. We preach election because we preach a victorious Redeemer. And we want to declare that he went to the cross for a particular people and he saved that particular people. He's victorious in what he did. But it wasn't for his offenses. It was for our offenses that he suffered. He took not only our guilt, brethren, he took our offenses. The crimes themselves that we committed against God, our Lord Jesus Christ bore himself. Galatians 1:4 says he gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Hebrews 9:28 says Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And Peter tells us, his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. We were talking yesterday, Brother Greg and I were talking, and you know, there's some things in the Scriptures the Lord just doesn't tell us. He just does not tell us. Paul simply said, he was made sin for us who knew no sin. Peter simply says he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. He doesn't tell us how that happened. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all, but he doesn't tell us how. And sometimes I wonder if like folks do us in our day, if they would have stood there and heard Paul declare that, would they have said Paul was saying Christ was a sinner? Obviously, there was a need for Christ to be made sin, or it wouldn't say he was made sin. There was a need for him to be the sin bearer. And that need was so that God would be just to pour out justice upon him in place of his people. If that wasn't needful, it wouldn't say it in the Scriptures. It was absolutely needful because the whole purpose of God was to declare his justice. Christ died on the cross so that God could be merciful to his people and at the same time execute justice upon his people. That's what was taking place on the cross. The Scripture says his glory is that he keeps mercy for thousands and forgives iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. He does both of those things. He forgives us. He shows us mercy. But he does not do it at the expense of his justice. His justice must be executed upon all sinners, on every sinner. And this, brethren, is the glory. This is the very thing that separates God from all other man-made gods. He said, have I not declared this from the ancient time? He's been declaring this from the foundation of the world. And what is it he declares? I'm a just God and a Savior. Beside me, there's none else. That's what separates Him from all others. All others put something in your hands to do. This is the God who does it all and declares that in doing so, He's just and He's a Savior. He's just and He's merciful. And that's what separates Him from all others. So it was by bearing the offenses of His people. It was bearing our offenses. And when He bore our offenses, justice demanded that Christ be made a curse for us. Christ be made a curse. That means He had to bear the eternal hell that all His people earn for ourselves by our sins. He had to bear that. He had to bear separation from the glory of God's presence. And that's what hell will be. Separation from the glory of God's presence. He had to bear that on the cross for His people. This is how He was made a curse for us. He bore the fierce wrath of God, which justice demands from every sinner. He bore that for His people. This was a must, brethren, and this is what I'm saying to you when I say Christ was made sin. For justice's sake, it was a must that He own our sin as His own, and it be viewed by God as His own sin. And two, it was a must in order for Christ to be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, the feeling that all our sin causes. He felt it on the cross. And yet without sin, yet He remained holy and remained faithful to God, looking to God. See, these two things were a must, because if He's going to be a faithful high priest to make reconciliation to God and to comfort us, both those things are necessary. The justice of God, He has to be made sin to satisfy it, so God can be just to pour out wrath on Him, and He has to know what we suffer due to sin. That's why He was made sin. And when Christ died unto sin, be sure to get this now, all His people really and truly died unto sin. When He died unto sin, we died. We died. Scripture says, I am crucified with Christ. It's not as if I am. It's not God treated Him as if He was sin and He treated me as if I'm righteous. No, 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 no. I am crucified with Christ. Our old man is crucified with Him that the body of sin might be destroyed. Isn't that much better news to you that God is declaring it to be fact rather than God would say it's supposition? It's as if. Isn't that better news to know it's fact, it's done, it's finished? That's better news. That's good news. That's good news. That's the first part of how He established the law. Here's the second thing. He was raised again for our justification. He was raised again for our justification. When He rose again as our head and representative, our Lord Jesus was legally discharged. He was acquitted. He was justified. And so was His church in Him. So was His church in Him. Christ's resurrection testifies to us. It declares to us that when Christ arose, legally, fully discharged from sin and death, all God's elect arose in Him, legally and fully discharged from sin and death. That means the law will never, ever say anything negative to one for whom Christ died. It never will. It never will. So as to condemn us. It never will. And I make that qualification because when He calls you, He's going to make you hear what the law says about you. It says you're guilty in yourself. But that law is never going to condemn one for whom Christ died because Christ satisfied justice. And when He arose, that's what it declared. When He came out of that grave, the resurrection of Christ declared that there's no more condemnation for any of His people anymore. You know, that high priest in the old covenant, he not only slew the lamb, but then he collected the blood of the lamb. He didn't take the lamb that had in type had been made sin. He didn't take that into the holiest of holies. The high priest went into the holy of holies without spot. And he went in there with the blood of the lamb. And that was picturing Christ the antitype. Scripture says of him that by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He obtained it. The folks who say now, you know, if you believe on Christ, you'll make his blood effectual for you. No. No. His blood, he made his blood effectual. I don't make it effectual. He made it effectual. He obtained eternal redemption for us. Christ did not enter into the holy places made with hands. They were just figures of the true. They were just pictures. He's entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. He's there for us. He's our advocate with the Father. He's our righteousness before the Father. And he's our propitiation before the Father. Christ ever lives now to send forth the Holy Spirit to each one of those for whom he died. He's going to send the gospel to them because he's sovereign to do it. And he's going to send the Holy Spirit and he's going to regenerate them and bring them to faith in him, because justice demands that his righteousness must be imputed to each one for whom he died through faith. This blessedness must come on each one for whom he died. Justice of God demands that. And so he works that for all his people. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, he hath shed forth this which you now hear and see. He did it. And Christ is still doing it in the hearts of his people when he sends forth the Spirit to regenerate us. And so all who believe on Christ, when we're brought to faith in Christ, God imputes the righteousness of Christ to us because Christ has made us righteousness. He imputes what Christ has made us to be. That's what he imputes to us. If we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. That's a mystery. By Christ's will, by his willing consent, he allowed death to have dominion over him one time. He really, truly died. He really did. He really did. That only could be if the justice of God demanded it. And that could only be if he bore our sin. He really died. He really died. But in that he died unto sin once. He died unto sin one time. Just one time he died unto sin. And he accomplished what he came to accomplish. But now, in that he liveth unto God. And so I said to you, God imputes to us what Christ made us. What Christ made us to have to be. That's what God imputes to us. And so God tells us in Romans 6:11, reckon, impute ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If I was Paul and I was writing this, well, I do it every time I preach. I would do what Paul did right here. He stressed to the folks that this is not a supposition. He said it in the most emphatic language he could possibly say it. Impute yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. Before God, before justice, before the law, everyone Christ died for has already been executed. We've already died the death penalty. Every one of us. You can't do that but once. You can't do that but once. We did it in Christ. And now, in that he liveth, every one of us are risen in Him and seated at God's right hand. It is a done deal. It's finished. And that's why Paul said, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Because you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You are at God's right hand right now. That's how God sees it. You and I can't hardly get that. We just can't fathom that. I'm right here. Not before God. Before God, you're with Him. You're accepted. You're righteous and holy as God is righteous and holy. As Christ is right now, so are we in this world. We are what He is right now. Now that's how Christ established the law. That's how He established it. He fully, completely established it for His people. If you're justified, the law has nothing else to say to you. That means you and I cannot sin so as to be condemned by God. We can't. Because the law doesn't recognize us anymore. We're dead. We're dead. What does that mean? Go to Romans 7. Look at verse 4. That first husband was the law. And so for us to be married to Christ, that first husband had to die. Well, look what he says. Verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. You're dead to the law. What does that mean when if somebody says, you're dead to me? That means, in their eyes, you're dead. Well, you're dead to the law. In the eyes of the law, you're dead. And this was by the body of Christ. And it's that you should be married to another, even to Christ who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. And he says there, that next verse, when we were in our flesh, and religious or irreligious, the only fruit we ever brought forth was dead fruit. Dead fruit. Because we were in sin. And everything God looked at us, all He saw was sin. But now, Christ makes us bear real fruit. Real fruit. That's right. He makes us bear fruit that God accepts. Isn't that amazing, brethren? Everything that we do in the name of Christ and for Christ, He accepts it. The plowing of the wicked is sin. The plowing of the righteous is righteous. Every mundane thing we do before God is righteous. Isn't that amazing? That's true. That's true. Abraham believed God. Do you? Do you believe God? See, this blessedness comes upon those who believe God and put all their trust in Christ. Cast all your care on Christ. God raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. That's why He did it. That's why He did it. And all who believe have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. And that's why Christ said, whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. When you're righteous, righteousness is the opposite of sin. And sin's the cause of death. When you're righteous, there's no death. Only life. You'll never die. Christ said, whoso eateth My flesh and drinketh My blood, whosoever believeth on Me hath eternal life. We have eternal life. And He said, and I'll raise Him up at the last day. So, you can ignore this, live your life in sin and go to hell. You can ignore this, pretend like you can keep the law, which you absolutely cannot do. Meet God, have God tell you, you never did it once, and then go to hell. Or you can believe on Christ. And this righteousness is yours freely. I pray God make you do the latter. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for causing your people to believe it. Thank you for giving us this blessedness so freely, for making us righteous in your Son. Lord, we do pray that you would settle every heart, that you would cause those that are troubled to be settled, knowing that what you've done is just, it's right, it's just according to the Scripture. And make us be settled, Lord. Make us find rest in Christ and love our brethren and trust what you've done. And Lord, we pray for those that are lost, that you might give them an understanding, that you might quicken them and make them alive and draw them irresistibly to Christ. Father, we pray today that you'd bless the services and truly meet with us and truly make us to worship you. And Father, we pray that you'd be with all your people today and that you bless them and keep them and keep everyone looking only to Christ. It's in his precious holy name we pray. Amen.